You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 18th of January. Jazz with a fabulous win in Denver last night. After a rewatch of it, we break it all down. Look at the little pieces. Donovan's classic finish. Mike Conley's just fabulous. An overall terrific performance. And we'll change the narrative on a few items as well. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan every day. Happy Dr. Martin Luther King Day, special edition of Locked On Jazz. Hope you are taking a moment to read some of his writings, remember what he stood for, what he did for our world, and a huge amount of our population, but I think for our country and our world. If you're a reader and you want to dig into something, Parting the Waters by Taylor Branch is one of the truly outstanding books. It's lengthy. It's a Pulitzer Prize winner about the King years. But if you're looking for history and just great stories and unbelievable kind of firsthand accounts of what took place, I would strongly suggest Parting the Waters. Also, just King's rise to power in that period of time is something fairly remarkable. There were two factions inside the civil rights movement, and as is often the case, no one was going to accept the leader of either one of those two groups. And so this young preacher out of Atlanta rose up out of it. Seems incomprehensible when you read the story that he could have, at that age, with that limited experience, be ready for this moment. And yet he obviously so was, and there was such a... and then he brought together, not rival forces, but different groupings inside of the movement to where it is. So... really, if you get a chance, incredible. And then firsthand accounts of just a wild time, probably with great relevancy to read again and hear and feel and see with the rise of the social justice movement here in 2021 and the rise of white supremacy all across our country, or at least openly around our country again. So all those things worth it. Parting the Waters, Taylor Branch. Great read on this Martin Luther King Day. All right, I went and rewatched the game. Or the second half, because I've got to be honest, when I call a game like that, that intense, kind of that emotional, that close, I don't always get a feel for it. And there is a tendency to go read Twitter afterwards and let that be the narrative of the day, and I try to avoid that. And so I went back and rewatched the second half this morning so I could do a better job here. My takeaway was, I actually now know why I didn't have a feel for it. There isn't actually a great feel for this game. This was just two really, really good teams battling really, really hard, playing exceptionally high-level, hard basketball with something to prove to each other. In an important early season game for the Jazz, they'd won four in a row, but three of those were against really bad teams. And so to win the fifth in a row on the road in Denver, and suddenly your five-game win streak looks pretty real when you've got a win in Milwaukee and a win in Denver. For Denver, they're 6-6. They need a signature win. They don't have one yet. They're not quite the same without Jeremy Grant, Torrey Craig, and Mason Plumlee. And they have this kind of brutal stretch coming up where they play the Jazz last night, then they play Oklahoma City. They got two against Phoenix, and they go to Dallas, and then they go to Miami. And if they're not careful, they could be 7-11. So that was a big game with both teams really battling, and that's my biggest takeaway. I've read some stuff on the Twitter sphere. I actually get mad at all of our hosts when they like reference Twitter as though it's like a reference point, but it is to some extent. Amazing that the Jazz won that game when they played that badly. I could not disagree with that anymore. First of all, we had an unbelievable shooting night. So in the realm of that you believe as in, and truthfully, this is often the case, that it's a make or miss league. Last night, the Jazz made, and I think the Nuggets missed. I mean, I know the Jazz made. The Jazz had an unbelievable shooting night. Their QSI, which is a second spectrum stat, which is, what percentage you shoot above the average shots you got, was 8%. That's one of the highest of our all season. I think that other than Milwaukee, that's probably our best shooting night all year long. because Frank, you know, we made a lot of shots last night. So, that's certainly part of this. And I think you have to, you know, you kind of have to realize that that's part of last night. And I think that Denver missed, a bunch of shots last night, if we're being frank about it. So that was a make or miss game. The other one is like, okay, we allowed 23 offensive rebounds and we missed a bunch of free throws. The free throws are on us. But that's because they're really, really good. And Jokic is amazing. I mean, Jokic made two or three plays last night that are... Actually, I take it back. Jokic made like 18 or 20 plays last night that are just... There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, he made some two or three exceptional plays. The water polo pass. There's a bounce pass he catches late in the... midway through the fourth quarter. He's holding Bojan with one arm and he catches a bounce pass with one hand and just flips it up and in. Like, that's crazy. He's really just completely exceptional in every single way. And so he just makes the game incredibly difficult for us. I don't think there's anything like Denver's a hard matchup when you consider that you have Jamal Murray playing off the bounce, high scoring guard, and Jokic popping and distributing and playing and making Rudy play out and they're cutting behind. I don't think we played badly at all. Like, you can try to, you're not going to play that well unless you're playing Detroit or Cleveland. Like, I think we got to understand that a little bit. Like, sure, they had 23 offensive rebounds. We could have done a better job, but heck, we closed out on shooters off those 23 offensive rebounds at a really high rate, and their second chance points was not that high last night. So, yeah, they're getting the rebounds, but we're still battling every possession. You know, we had 14 fast break points when George Niang hits a three on a beautiful Conley drive kick to, and we don't get another fast break point for the rest of the night. Well, that became a grinding, slow, halting game last night. I think that played about 90 possessions. And it was just a battle. So the effort level on all ends was just superb. It was a great, great basketball game. I've got a lot of different things I'm going to jump on. I've got a page full of just single notes with my scribble, some of which I probably will suddenly pause and stutter and wonder how I possibly can remember what I wrote because I scribble it while I'm watching. But bottom line, super strong win, signature win. Denver makes things wildly hard on us, and we played great, and we shot it. We shot it. Great shot distribution too, right? 37 shots as threes, 76 field goal attempts. So 49% of our shots are threes. We're a good three-point shooting team. We bang down 40 of them. You suddenly overcome missing 12 free throws and giving up 23 offensive rebounds. Because we're good at that. We only had 6 live ball turnovers last night. Much better taking care of the ball. 13 turnovers looks like a lot. 7 of the 13 turnovers are dead ball turnovers. On a night where you have 121 offensive rating, I could care less about 7 dead ball turnovers. Just count them as missed shots. Or they're better than missed shots, frankly, because they're taking the ball out of the bounce. All right. Gosh, so many things. Mike Conley is just outstanding right now. I mean, really, really, really outstanding. The plus 17 tells a story last night. I don't love night in and night out plus minus. He is 8 assists, 1 turnover tells the story. 0-4 for the free throw line tells the story, but we'll let him go on that. His defensive presence and energy and pickup points being high and getting into guys was just incredible. And then his running of the offense was just great. Like, Donovan closes this game beautifully. We'll get into it in a minute. But Donovan has a stretch where he commits like 3 straight turnovers with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And Mike comes in and just settles things down. He is playing, but the bigger one is how well he is playing and impacting the game defensively. And his effort level is just fabulous. He's really been great. He and Gobert, going into last night, were the number one defensive pick and roll combination in the NBA. And Mike is just battling at a superb level, getting in on people, playing with super energy, and it's admirable to watch his evolution on this team right now. But he's a huge story of what he's done in this game, both running our plays, understanding him, getting everything going, but his defensive effort. There was a play late, 3 minutes left in the game. It was vital. Beautiful design by Quinn Snyder. I want to get into. There's a bunch of other little moments in time, but the biggest play of the game truly might have been Mike Conley sneaking behind Jokic, stealing the ball in the backcourt, getting to Clarkson for a three. It's a 4-point swing, really. 1 point for their offensive possession. Then we hit a three on the other side. You could call it a 3-point swing, but a 3-point swing in one play in a game we won by four. Like, that play by Mike Conley, to me, represents where he is as a basketball player right now. He's completely dialed in. He's seeing everything at every moment. He's giving everything he has at every ounce moment of the possession. And he snuck behind Jokic and got that steal. And it was a massive play, finding Clarkson for the three on the other side. There's a bunch of a brilliant, brilliant play by Quinn Snyder we'll talk about for a layup late. I got just a ton of notes, so we'll keep flying through. Locked On Bets is up and rolling after another solid week last week. It is all brought to you by betonline.ag. Locked On Bets is our daily gambling podcast, about 15 minutes, hosted by your boy Q with handicapper Lee Sterling, and they have a great deal of fun and bring it to you. You can get it. Also, you can play along with betonline.ag, and with a promo code Locked On, you get a 50% welcome bonus. So the great NFL weekend ahead of the championship games, college basketball's at full throttle, the NBA is rolling, lots of hockey's playing, all available at betonline.ag. So make sure you go head out to betonline.ag, use the promo code Locked On, and get your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Today's show also brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. That's right, my good friends over at the Murdochs and Murdoch Chevy doing fabulous work in the Chevy lineup of cars and trucks. Well, it's Americana, it's unequaled, it's the best. That's what Chevy's all about, and the Murdochs have been in Utah for 90 years, bringing it to you out in Woods Cross, also in Logan. The Silverado truck speaks for itself. The Colorado is the smaller truck that kind of gives you the whip-around ability. That's a bowler jack phrase, right? Whip-around ability. They really just do a great job. The 2021 Silverado, 0% for 72 months right now from the Murdoch Auto Team. And then I mentioned that Colorado. The Corvette is the legendary sports car, but you've also got a great SUV lineup with the Equinox as the mid-level SUV, the Tahoe, you know well, the Suburban. Those are classics along the way, and now the Blazer line is back out. It's all over at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also in Logan. Feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. I'll set up your meeting for you and give you the VIP treatment. Locked On NBA today, Josh Lloyd bounces through three of the biggest stories in the NBA, the James Harden trade, the Caris LeVert diagnosis and trade, and then wraps the show. What was the third piece? I listened to it last night. Oh, there's a third story on there. It's an Eastern Conference story. I can't think about it. Bring it for you. All right. Great play by Quinn Snyder with 3 minutes left in the game. Mike Conley comes off a pick and roll with Rudy Gobert. Jokic is hedging out. They're hiding Jamal Murray on Bojan Bogdanović defensively. So the Jazz bring Bojan, who then sets another pick on Jokic. So it's like it's a second pick and roll. But Jokic is now a little bit like confused about whether or not is he hedging on a second one as well. And Jamal Murray's confused because after Bogdanović sets this pick, Bogdanović goes and runs out to the three-point line for a pop. Rudy's still rolling. So the first guy, Monty Morris and Jokic, are defending the first play. And Rudy rolls, and someone's supposed to rotate over to stop Rudy's roll because Denver does such a good job of cutting on off with an outside guy, which is why we get so many three-point attempts. And Jamal Murray is now wondering, wait, is that me I'm supposed to do that, or is that somebody else? Bogdanović leaves the area, goes and sets a pick for Jokic. Mike Conley turns the corner now. Jokic surprised by that pick. And Conley now gets a little three-foot runner. That is just brilliant execution, but also great play calling by Quinn at the three-minute mark last night. And that got Conley a massive, massive play. Donovan Mitchell commits three straight turnovers at about the seven-minute mark. It's kind of a mess. He's traveled. He's thrown one away. He comes back and just as a close of the game that just reminds us once again how totally special this kid is. Like, I don't know how you have that game going on and then somehow fire through and are able to make the plays he made. But he closes, it starts with kind of another bad possession. He's dribbling out of possession. He's in trouble. Works it right to left across the lane. Throws up that wild right-hand runner. Then he hits Derek Favors on a roll for on a gorgeous pass where Jamichael Green was particularly late coming over to help defensively. And Favors gets a dunk plus the foul. And that's, you know, that was a great... Here's Donovan struggling. He's having, you know, it's 94-92 at the time. This is a massive play. There's 4:40 left in the game. And he hits Favors on that roll. That is a big time play. Favors now makes the free throw. Mike Conley re-enters the game, which now allows Donovan to start playing off the ball, which is the same adjustment Quinn made, whether it was in Detroit or wherever it was when Donovan was struggling and then kind of came back through and made a bunch of plays late in the game. And Donovan catches out on the outside on a great ball move possession by the Jazz on a Bogdanovich pass out for the inside. Ball fakes the three, drives all the way to the rack, and lays it up and in. Now it's 99-92. So, I mean, here you have Donovan really coming off, you know, he'd missed a layup. He turned the ball over on three straight possessions, I think it was. It's kind of a mess, right? 8:02, he turns it over. 7:47, he turns it over. 7:13, he turns it over. He misses a shot with 6:42. Like, that's just a brutal four possession stretch. And he bounds out of it with a just incredible stretch. The 10-foot tough runner, the beautiful pass to Derek Favors. I think it might have been off an no, it wasn't off an offensive rebound. Then the layup. The drive. Then Mike Conley hits the shot I was just talking about, which is the 6-foot little runner that, on the beautiful play by Quinn. And then the Rudy Gobert pass to Donovan Mitchell for the dunk, which was off Donovan missing a three, offensive rebound Rudy. How about Rudy pulling down two massively important offensive rebounds, maybe even three late in the game, reminiscent of the 7 he got in the fourth quarter of game 7 last year after we got dominated on the glass all night long. Like, that's pretty awesome. But that, to me, Donovan's stretch to close the game was, again, one of those, you know, this guy's special. This is a little of the moxie this team seems to have right now. It's how they're 9-4. All right, let me jump through a few other notes. Jazz took only 6 long twos in the whole game. Denver took 20. Like, we shot it really, really well with a 61% effective field goal percentage. And I mentioned it was a make or miss night, and we were making. But when you only take 6 long twos and take 14 corner threes, you are doing things really, really well at that point. Low pass game for us. So that was not a great one. It's interesting. I felt as though they made a lot of shots over Gobert. Jokic was amazing. And yet the numbers came out at the NBA.com still saying that they were 12 of 30, I think it was, when guarded by Rudy Gobert last night. So a lot of those misses at the rim on offensive rebounds, a lot of they're getting the offensive rebounds because we're a little, you know, we've been a great defensive rebounding team all night, all year, third best in the league until last night. And yet at the same time, here it was time for us to make some defensive plays. They just, you know, they didn't get second chance points last night. So you can kind of look at this and say, yeah, they had 23 offensive rebounds, which is an awful lot of things, an awful lot, and it's not great. You can't live that way. But our defensive scramble and play on the backside of it was pretty impressive. Their second chance points last night, I believe, was 14. And if you kind of look at who they are, Barton 2, Millsap 2, Jokic 4, Murray 3, Green 3, like, they're not getting a bunch of those off of those, you know, they're not going right back up. The Jazz then are rotating out. They're missing threes. They missed a ton of shots on some sequence. So the Jazz really, that's the battle level last night on some of that was pretty incredible. Interesting other note on this one is Denver had a pretty good offensive game. I mean, this was, their offensive rating was a 117 by the end of the day on the ESPN board that I use. I'll look up my final, see what I get here on my final notes, on the one I use all the time. But the part of that was that the two things that we've really been, quite honestly, terrible at this year that had me the most concerned is our isolation defense and our drive defense, and both were pretty good last night. You know, we played really, really good defense in isolation last night, which we have not done a great deal of. Last night was not a good defensive game for us. It was our 11th best out of 13, so it was our third worst defensive game of the year. But that's really because Jokic is just awesome, frankly. It was our fifth best offensive game of the year. It's just a great win. They're so good. Jokic is so good. They're not quite the same. They do miss Torrey Craig and Jeremy Grant. Like when PJ Dozier's out there instead of Jeremy Grant to close the game, that's a little bit of a problem for them. They're not quite the same in that regard. All right, some key tenets to our offense that are playing out. I'll get to that. Some free throw notes. Tip of the hat to Royce O'Neal. A little Mia Oni talk. That's what we got. Still got coming for you. Lots still left on the breakdown of this ballgame. Jazz beat the Nuggets. Martin Luther King Day special. Take some time today. Make sure you do a little reading about MLK. Letter to the Birmingham Jail. Letter from the Birmingham Jail if you want to. His last speech. I've seen the other side of the mountain. Considering he gets assassinated within 24 hours after that is a pretty... kind of as though we might have known something, pretty incredible, or just tells you the landscape of where things were at that moment and how much peril he knew he was in. So those are two other suggestions for you. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting, healthiest protein bar on the market. Candy bar or protein bar, you decide. I love it when they just send another shipment to our talent. I love it. The guys just are fired up like, oh, these are amazing. I love these. These are the best. They say it. You won't believe your mouth. We did a nut taste test at our house the other day. I didn't have any of them, but the peanut butter brownie was the winner. If you like coconut, the German chocolate cake had votes. My daughter's not a big coconut fan, so that one didn't win her over. But I think if you like coconut, she said, okay, that'd be good. I don't do the nuts. I do the mint brownie and the chocolate brownie, and the orange is surprisingly good, the raspberry. They're all at BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you get a free bag of Built Broth with every 18-bar box purchase right now. Built Broth is another one of their, like, immunity boost, and Built Boost is another product they have that I'm really enjoying, kind of making the switch over from emergency to Built Boost. Go check it out, BuiltBar.com. LOCKEDON is your promo code. The macros on the Built Bar are amazing. Amazing compared to the leading men's bar out there. You're suddenly ending up with 120 fewer calories, 3 fat grams less, 34 fewer carbs, 17 fewer grams of sugar, and 7 more grams of protein. It's all at BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKEDON. Last week's Hollinger and Duncan is still out there and pretty interesting, so make sure you go grab former NBA GM John Hollinger with Nate Duncan, and Hollinger and Duncan, all part of the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, what are my other final thoughts? The transition three has really become a major part of our offense. We're the number one team in the NBA in transition threes. We have we're leading the league. We had 5 last night early, and then to Denver's credit, where this is again, I just am not on this side of like, oh, we could have played better, we could have done more. Like, Denver's good and knows us. And to me, that's where, like, they then took away our transition game. They took away Donovan Mitchell, and we were still able to have enough answers to beat you. Like, to me, that's actually kind of the most impressive part about last night is the fact that, you know, they really did do a pretty darn good job of taking away things that we like to do, right? Like, And because they know us as well as we do, that they were able to do that to us, and yet we're still able to make enough plays and have enough different options and be able to do that. So to me, you know, hey, we had 11 or 5 transition threes early in the game. The last one happened on the George Niang three from Jordan Clarkson I talked about earlier, and yet at the same time we're able to fight through that, get back into a half court game. And play well. Our half-court offense has not been particularly good this year. And last night, it was. Last night, we had 107.5 points per possession, 83rd percentile. I would guess If you looked at our game log, that's about as good a half-court game as we've had all year long. The other one last night that I don't think enough people are talking about is our transition defense was great. Like, they got almost nothing in transition against us. I think they got two threes, and that's about it. And they were in transition a decent amount, but we really cut off their transition game last night at a pretty high level, which is something that's good because one of the things we've been talking about is that we have not been very good defensively after a miss. And last night, we were much, much better defensively after misses when they got out and missed. We came into the game last night. If you haven't heard this number, it's kind of why the games have been so topsy-turvy. Our defense, after we make a shot, is second best in the NBA. After we miss a shot, it's 22nd in the NBA. On offense, when we get stuck after they make, we're 20th in the league. But after a miss, when we're getting out in the open court, we're 6th best. So when you those things kind of lead to these like up and down games, last night that was not the case. We did a really good job after misses last night. Much better, frankly, than we have in some of the past games. So that's kind of cool. Let's see. Harris did a really good job on Donovan Mitchell as he did in the playoffs last year. And you know, that final play of the game he makes to beat, to force the turnover on Donovan last year in the playoffs is, in retrospect, is even better when you hear some of the stories about it. But they didn't have another guy. Like, PJ Dozier's not that guy. That's where they really miss Jeremy Grant and Torrey Craig, is they just don't have that next guy. A few other notes. Our defensive intensity the whole night was just amazing, even though it was not a good defensive game. And that's a tribute to Denver, that they're just that good. And then this is so cool. Royce O'Neal hits those two free throws late last night. Massive free throws by Royce O'Neal. 22 seconds left, three-point game. Royce O'Neal had only taken two free throws in his entire career in the final 2 minutes of a close game. And they were both in his rookie year, and he made them both. So Royce O'Neal had not been to the free throw line in the final 2 minutes of a close game in 3 years. And buried them both. Kind of awesome. Mia One last night, getting the minutes because of Joe Ingles. And I am a big Mia One fan. 12 minutes plus 7 last night. Played great defense. Our defense was super on last night on Jamal Murray in the second half. And the... And Mia One was great. Want to just make sure that we like don't go too crazy. He guarded Oney for about, or Oney guarded Murray for 4 minutes last night in the second half. 4 minutes. Not like a huge, huge, huge amount. He did a great job. But, and I'm all for, like, I love Mione. And yes, he's done a better job than, you know, anybody else did, frankly. But he guarded him for about 6 possessions last night. It wasn't like he is the... There seemed to be almost like a narrative out there that Oney was defending Jamal Murray, and that's why he didn't score in the second half. He guarded him for the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. And that seemed to be it. Like, I couldn't find in the first half, in the second quarter, they didn't match up the same way. So, again, I think Mione's really good. I think he's our best defensive player. I think he's earning more minutes. I think he'll get more time on that. He'll increase that role. But let's not let that narrative get out of hand. And I'm a fan. Like, I think he's an NBA player. And I think the great thing about him is if anybody but Rudy or Derek misses time, Mia One's the kid who's going to play. Like, George, even if Niang goes out, you play him and then guys slide into other spots. Clarkson misses a game or two. Conley misses a game. Boyan, I think One's the guy. I think he's that versatile. So it's great. And, you know, we were super good. Dealing with him, and he played great in that fourth quarter stint where he guarded him for 4 minutes. I'm not minimizing what he did. I want to minimize, like, it's at least feels as though there's like a narrative. I don't think everybody watches the game that closely. And so then a narrative starts like, oh, he shut down Jamal Murray. Yeah, for six possessions. Maybe eight. Just make sure we are right on that. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. That was a great win. Super fun. Way to go. Those are fun. All right, homestand. New Orleans twice. Golden State. New York and Dallas will be home for every game till we go back to Denver on January 31st, which should be another good one. So, fun little stretch. Big stretch for Denver, too, by the way. Just got to keep an eye on Denver. Denver's schedule coming up is not easy. And they play the Thunder tomorrow. Then they play the Suns back-to-back. Then they play the Mavericks, the Heat, and the Spurs. And those are all on the road before coming back to play us at home. It's a really, really big seven-game stretch for the Nuggets coming up here. All right, awesome. Thanks very much for tuning in today. Have a good Martin Luther King Day. Please take some time. And Eye on the Prize would also be the show you could watch. There, another suggestion. Have a great one. Thanks very much.